the season finale of Ice Pilots NWT. A fuel crisis threatens to ground the whole fleet.
They put a freeze on the gas for non-essential service.
As Buffalo scrambles for a rare flight to the North Pole. Turmoil in the ranks.
Pisses me off, they don't show up.
Shakes up the company.
I recommend it if fired up.
Some will stay and some will go. Summer in Yellowknife Northwest Territories, land of the midnight sun. The buffalo take full advantage of the extra light. And so do the buffalo pilots. Though playing golf in the north does require some adjustment.
He said you gotta like dig it down so it's flush with the dirt.
Classic Yellowknife style, golfing with mats.
Good one, Scotty. Right on.
That's a little straighter.
It doesn't go as far as green grass, we'll tell you that much.
But where else can you get in a midnight round? It's a welcome distraction for co-pilot Scott Blue.
The club's long enough? Probably not. Probably missing my first stroke anyway.
With business down at Buffalo, he's not getting much chance to fly. And for Scott, things are about to get even worse.
Unbelievable.
Just sit down, guys.
Buffalo Joe is about to shake up the pilot roster.
When we move a guy who's ready to move from the right seat to the left seat, it takes some planning, it takes some thought.
He's fast-tracking co-pilot Gord Cooling to get him checked out as a captain as soon as possible.
We want to put Gordon on the DC-3 in the morning. We want to put him on the C-46 at noon. If he's back in town, we'll put him on the DC-3 again at night because he's in his last 100 hours.
Golden Boy Gord has zoomed up the ranks in his 4 years at Buffalo.
It's pretty neat that I'm becoming a captain at Buffalo and my brother's got a job at an airline and my dad's retiring all within the same month.
Hey, congratulations.
How you doing, man?
The son and grandson of commercial pilots from West Vancouver, Gord was born to fly. He's amassed 2,600 flight hours, just 100 short of the magic 2,700 that will make him one of the youngest captains in the country at age 24.
So that's how I have to ask you guys to bear with us because it's going to be very interruptive in our schedule.
To get Gord those hours quickly, Joe expects all other co-pilots to stand down.
There is an element of professional jealousy. Always arises somewhere. You just don't know where. It's buried somewhere under the surface.
If anyone has the right to feel frustrated, it's Scott Blue. Compared to Gord's 2,600 hours, Scott only has 750 as a co-pilot.
I'd like to be flying more. You know, we're paid by the mile, right? So the more we fly, the more cash we make.
But there's more at stake than money. Too much time off the stick, and Scott risks losing his touch on the C-46, the only plane he flies.
You can get quite rusty on that machine very, very quickly.
You gotta have that feel for it. The best way to get the feel for it is by flying. We're flying it a lot.
But with Gord co-piloting all scheduled C-46 flights, Scott is grounded.
Little to nothing I can do about it apart from being negative and bitch, but who wants to hear that? Nobody, so what's it going to do?
Scott sucks it up.
Hopefully we pass on enough to you, which I know we have. There's just a few more things we want to show you, and then you'll do your line doc and you'll be on your way. So all the best.
Gord wastes no time jumping in the cockpit with C-46 Captain Devin Brooks. for Scott, it's back to rampy grunt work.
This afternoon, it's a little slow, and I'm on operation Park My Ass for the next few weeks so Gordo can get his hours up and go captain. So I get to wash the plane today.
Gord flies, I clean.
Yay.
After working up the Buffalo ranks for almost 2 years, Scott's back to square one.
At the end of the day, I'm just a, you know, pawn in the grand game of Buffalo.
And it's starting to get to him. On the ramp, tempers rise.
Just bring it all down. You're making a little monkey do the work, aren't you?
You want to know something, asshole? It's I did true, the broom on the top part of the wing, and now we're trading jobs. In 5 minutes, we'll trade again.
Scott's a team player, but he's got to find a way to get off the bench.
Grime, slime.
Hey, I just got a call from Shell saying that there's no Avgas anywhere.
In the Buffalo office, General Manager Mikey McBrien is reeling from his own piece of unwelcome news. And it could spark a crisis.
Some sort of weird shortage going on right now, and they've only got enough fuel for the firefighting aircraft.
In an era when big airplanes burn kerosene-based jet fuel, Buffalo's piston-pounding fleet still burns leaded aviation gasoline, or avgas. But a shrinking demand for avgas and environmental concerns about leaded fuel have reduced its production worldwide.
So this is it, eh? Holy smokes.
Mikey is shocked to learn that there will be no avgas available for the next 3 weeks.
Like, as of today, right now, we're done?
As of right now, they're freezing everything for firefighting only. Can't get gas, you can't drive. How useful is your car if you can't go to the gas station, right? It just looks pretty. And we're not a museum, right? We fly airplanes.
Word of the freeze on avgas sales has yet to reach the local distributor in Yellowknife.
We're freaking dumping all our fuel trucks right now and filling them all up before they find out here.
So Mikey moves fast.
Who's left on the ground, Gene? Get him on charge of filling that yellow.
Grabbing every available hand, they must empty all of Buffalo's fuel trucks, some bucket by bucket, then refill the trucks to capacity at the depot before the local tap gets turned off.
Three fuel trucks, how long do you think that would last us?
Last us a week?
Yeah, that's what I said, Tobo Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
The pressure is on Mikey and his brother Rod, the company's director of maintenance.
We could empty Yellowknife easy. We could hold the whole Yellowknife right here in the yard. That's what we're gonna try to do if they let us. Take it all.
We're gonna fill the green one at 4:30 before they realize they're not allowed to sell it to us. So we gotta get yeah, I know. We're a little late.
Mikey's booked a 4:30 appointment at the local fuel depot. Before then, every drum, every tank, every fuel hold and every plane has to be topped up to get the trucks emptied. It's a mammoth job.
Yeah, it's full.
They can't afford to miss this appointment. It's after 4:30 when the trucks finally head out. With Mikey hoping there will still be avgas for them. If not, Buffalo's fleet could be grounded within days.
Number one.
Buffalo Airways is in a desperate situation. If they can't fill their trucks with aviation gas before the local supply is shut down, their entire fleet will be grounded.
No one's ever phoned and said they don't have gas available in Canada.
Until now, the government has declared a freeze across the country to conserve the fuel for firefighting planes only. Buffalo's trucks make it to the fuel depot just in time. There is still avgas available. But how long will it last?
We're just playing it day by day. The like I said, we put all the fuel we could on site, and hopefully we can make it a couple of weeks.
But the freeze may last longer than that. They need a backup plan.
With this fuel shortage situation, we're trying to see who has what right now on the stops that we normally do.
Operations manager Mike Hanley rouses every supplier he knows to dig up another source.
You go to 90,000 on average a week, and you've only got 129.
But so far, he's striking out.
Okay, bye. Well, that's not very good.
On the tarmac, Buffalo Joe juggles his dwindling avgas supply.
I'm going to need your fuel out of here. Your weight, your all-up weight. They put a freeze on the gas for non-essential service. So what I got to do is stockpile some gas for my essential service. What I feel is essential, what they feel is essential, are two different things.
For Joe and people in remote northern settlements, Buffalo's food and mail deliveries are as essential as it gets.
Yeah, 18, yeah.
And that means more flying for Gord Cooling.
We're going to Fort Good Hope, Norman Wells, and Toledo.
Gord takes off with C-46 Captain A.J. DeCoste on another Mackenzie Valley run.
Clear. Buffalo 323 Tower, clear takeoff runway 33, left turn out.
Ready, down the left.
Good.
Get precious food, supplies, and mail to the four remote communities on their route. They'll burn thousands of liters of avgas on this run alone. It's a 1,600-kilometer trip from Yellowknife up the Mackenzie Valley and back.
How's it going today? Good. It's Mike Hanley from Buffalo Railways calling. I'm looking for Alex.
So Mike Hanley keeps working the phone.
Avgas always goes up in price. Okay, so
he calls the airport in the village of Norman Wells.
Like 370,000, you said? Oh, okay, so you guys have lots then.
Jackpot. Norman Wells is the second to last stop for AJ and Gord in the C-46. Mike has secured a deal to fuel up all Valley flights here. Gord makes sure to fill the C-46's wing tanks to capacity. With a supply of avgas here and more stockpiled in the Yellowknife yard, Buffalo should make it through. This time. But as this specialty fuel gets more scarce, the days of these piston-banging warbirds could well be numbered.
High D. There'll be no bitching about the
cost. Meanwhile, on Great Slave Lake, cargo manager Kelly Jurasovic is taking a rare day off to work out a problem of her own.
What's going to happen if I catch a fish?
I'll bonk it on the head.
Why don't you bonk Joe on the head, and then you can leave?
Kelly's husband, Juan, a flight engineer at Buffalo, recently butted heads with the boss.
You guys just f***ing around.
I'm not f***ing anybody around, Joe, okay? I don't take this f***ing apart.
I ask you, you say talk to Booby or talk.
I don't like being yelled at. 50 years old, and I'm not one of his f***ing kids.
You had an issue with me, and I had an issue with him, and he elected to quit?
Yeah, I quit.
But he just had enough, so it was quite a shock to me that he actually did quit.
Now, Juan has landed a job with one of Buffalo's competitors.
I'm not abandoning you, Kelly. I'm getting another f***ing job.
That's not the point. We had a pact that you and me were going to stay at Buffalo, finish our year out, and then we're going to leave and have our farm in Alberta and live happily ever after.
But that's all changed. If Juan's going to stay in Yellowknife, Kelly's dream of the farm is on hold. She must decide whether to follow Juan and leave Buffalo or stay put.
There's no law that says you can't quit if things get shitty. So just continue.
You just sleep at night and I don't.
And if Kelly chooses to stay put...
You know what's going to be hard for me? Staying there without you.
At Buffalo?
Yeah.
It's down the road, like...
You have throw no a rock. Idea.
You can throw a rock to the
How
first
you
day
are
right
my
here.
Backbone there.
Kelly has a tough decision to make. In the eyes of her co-workers, she's irreplaceable.
If she wasn't here, then nothing can be done as well as it is right now and as organized as it is now.
She can't allow herself to let go and let anybody else deal with anything, you know? She's just that way, I guess.
The next morning, all clean shaven, Juan shows up for his new job at First Air. Just up the road, it's back to work for Kelly, too.
On the clock now, boys.
After her day off, she's had time to think about her options.
You just gotta get over it and think positive about other things.
little stuck here, but I'll stay here.
Jax is going to be 452, yours is 400, and that's 380, okay? And that should be it.
Kelly's resolved to tough it out, for now.
Yeah, it is a busy day. So we should get 380 next.
Coming up.
Pisses me off when they don't show up.
A shorthanded Kelly blows her cool when rampy Jeremy Dow misses his shift.
I recommended it fires eyes on the road and put him on his on a Greyhound bus out of here.
Rampy Jeremy Dow has been fighting to get off the Buffalo ramp and into the cockpit for 8 long months.
Too tired to be frustrated.
But now, yet another detour. He's been assigned to help Kelly in cargo.
Good morning.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah, no problem. Don't it.
He's trying not to let it bring him down.
It's not a big deal to me. I mean, I knew I was going to come here to work hard. I didn't particularly care what the work was as long as it led to flying, and just got to get her done, man.
Jeremy settled into his new digs in Yellowknife, where tonight he's hosting a bit of a party.
Hey, everybody. We haven't decided whether it's a Hoopla or a Hootenanny yet, but it's certainly going to be one of the two.
Jeremy made the move from Hay River less than a month ago. And it was only days after he got to Yellowknife that good things began to happen. Like flying as Buffalo Joe's co-pilot for the very first time. A nerve-wracking test of Jeremy's ability.
It was a good trip. Nice trip. Well done.
After that successful training flight, Jeremy is poised to be the next DC-3 co-pilot.
There's talk of me flying within the next week even, so that's a good sign.
But his luck may be running out.
Morning, howdy.
5 o'clock the next morning. It's time for one of the biggest jobs of the week at Buffalo Airways. The Sunday morning food mail shift, when Kelly Jurasovic and her cargo staff receive and sort the week's massive grocery shipments.
Sometimes we'll get like 7,000 pounds we have to do, and if you don't have enough people, you can't get it done. I mean, I'd be here all day.
And today, one member of her crew is missing.
Well, I got here and there was no Jeremy.
Jeremy arranged for his roommate Andrew, who was scheduled to work anyway, to cover for him. But he neglected to let Kelly know he was taking the morning off.
It just screws the whole day up. They can have any f***ing other day off but a Sunday. And it pisses me off when they don't show up.
I don't think there would have been a problem if Jeremy would have just called in. But I didn't know.
Now, Kelly has more cargo than she expected. And she could use Jeremy's help with the heavy lifting. So she tries to reach him. It's hard to keep anything quiet at Buffalo. Joe soon finds out about Jeremy.
He's supposed to be at work. Huh?
Yeah.
Doesn't show up, doesn't phone in.
There's just no recovery from that kind of shit.
I recommended it fires ass on the road, put him on a Greyhound bus out of here.
I'm trading him off for a bus ticket.
While things are looking grim for Jeremy, there could be good news for Scott Blue. The government needs a fuel haul at the edge of the North Pole.
They've asked us if we are even able, if we have an aircraft that's able to shuttle things from Eureka here to Tanqueray Fjord.
This could be Scott's ticket off the ramp and a chance to boost his much-needed stick time. Eureka is a 9-hour flight straight north. Eureka was the first of Canada's high Arctic weather stations established in 1947. These days, the updated post monitors the stratospheric ozone layer.
Shit, I'm sure more people have been to a Playboy mansion than, you know, up and down this neck of the woods, like, by a factor of, like, 10, you know?
Eureka is on Ellesmere Island and just above the 80th parallel, near the North Pole. The government needs 100 drums of jet fuel moved from Eureka to an emergency airstrip even further north at Tanqueray Fjord. It's a dream job for any pilot. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
I want to do that. I want to do that for sure. That would be awesome. You know, like, you know, 1,300 miles north of here.
Hey, Mike. I can trim the oil cost, too. We're not going to go through 100 gallons.
Scott jumps right in and helps Mikey prepare the quote.
We can scrounge for drums around here and see what we come up with.
No one's asked him to do all this stuff, and he's technically doing my job right now, and I don't really mind. That's pretty cool, actually, so...
Okay, no, cool.
Right.
Scott's hoping that his hard work will pay off with a chance to be the co-pilot on the job.
Even if you're there for 2 days, you get off the plane, take a couple photos, you know, some stupid thing where you're standing there with your camera and Eureka's in the background, at least you can say, hey, Mom, look where I was.
Problem is, Gord Cooling wants in, too, and there can only be one co-pilot on the flight.
Gord really kind of... didn't want anything really too much to do with it at first. Then he kind of got a little bit excited and started working on it.
Well, that was bang. What did you say, 27 hours of flight?
27 hours.
Scott, Gord, and C-46 Captain A.J. DeCoste go over the quote with Mikey.
Check against A.J. Sure. Okay, so let's double check. So 3 hours to Cambridge.
Under Joe's orders, Gord's been getting all the flying time so he can make captain. And he figures this flight will be his, too.
That was a total mileage.
Don't worry about that, Scott. I'll take care of that.
Burn.
We haven't done the battle to see who would go.
25 hours, 560. What's that give you?
There may not be a Eureka moment for Scott after all.
You know, I'll have to pull a Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding on his ass and bust his kneecaps or something, and maybe I can go.
The next day, Jeremy Dow returns to work to face the music.
Oh, I feel pretty crappy about myself.
He missed a shift in the cargo terminal, but thought he had it covered. Big mistake.
I wasn't worried about there being anything wrong until Andrew came home and said, hey, man, there wasn't enough people there, so we had to call in some rampies to help. And then I knew that things weren't going to go too well. I went in to work like I had planned. Joe was there, and he confronted me about it.
Well, if you're 21 years old and you can't get your ass out of bed to go to work because you've been to bar the night before, what slide are you on?
Said he wanted to fire me right there, that he had no room in his organization for partiers and alcoholics, neither of which I am anywhere near.
Jeremy, well, came to me and was just, like, so upset. I couldn't believe how upset that kid was. I actually felt bad for Jeremy. Very bad for him. Because, you know, the kid tries hard, and all he wants to do is fly.
Jeremy got a letter saying, hey, this is it. You mess up one more time, you're done.
After 8 months paying his dues at Buffalo, longer than any other rampy, Jeremy is put on probation. In one short day, he's fallen from first in line for promotion to co-pilot to back of the pack.
I got to show them that I'm still a hard worker, still worthy of recognition for flying and whatnot.
It's up to him either to fit in or get on the Greyhound.
But even Jeremy's rampy rivals think he deserves a break.
You just work as hard as you can, you accomplish every job you're given with enthusiasm. And Joe notices that.
What's going to happen, I don't know. We all wish that someone's going to be checked out on the DC-3 pretty soon. It would be nice if it's him just because he deserves it. That's the way I think.
Jeremy's only hope is for Joe to forgive him.
Joe is the king of giving another chance to people because, you know, he has more belief in people than I think people understand.
But whether or not he can work his way back into the cockpit remains to be seen.
It's up to him. It's not up to me. I'm not his judge. I'm not his keeper. I'm not his mom. I'm not his dad. Totally up to him.
Buffalo Airways has been flying vintage prop liners for nearly 40 years. But the recent shortage of the aviation gas they guzzle was a harsh reminder that times are changing. If avgas production keeps dwindling, Buffalo will one day have to retire its fleet of classic World War II airplanes.
The fact that I might be the last person to operate this is a very surreal thing. It's something you don't really think about. It's kind of asking, oh, what are you going to do when your parents die?
That's a question Robert Ott has asked himself recently. He's come to Yellowknife from his home in Calgary on a very personal mission.
I'd like to spread my father's ashes from a plane, from a DC-3.
Frank Ott died at the age of 74 after a career in the Royal Canadian Air Force.
He was an RCAF guy for 32 years, and I made a promise to him to do this. He enlisted in January of 43, so I think his big connection with the DC-3 is he followed that plane, or the plane followed him throughout his whole career with the Air Force. I'm sure to fly a DC-3 was one of the most exciting things he did.
That smell of a hangar, you know, takes me back to being a kid. Some of the air bases. It's something you never forget, that smell. I haven't seen a DC-3 this close in 30 years, something like that. Yeah, long time.
Now, he needs Buffalo to help him honor his father's last wish. The next day, Mikey jumps into action.
Yeah, so we're heading down to the automotive store here to get some tools to get this guy's father's ashes out of the plane. It's going to be a little bit of engineering to figure out how to do it properly in an airplane so it doesn't kind of roll back at you, which would be the worst case scenario.
Like his dad, Mikey can't resist an unusual challenge.
On Buffalo standards, this is definitely an eight of the craziness of requests. It kind of surprised me at first. The more I thought about it, the more it makes sense. Like, his father was a World War II DC-3 mechanic. He definitely would want to freaking go out in style.
But there's not exactly any aisle in the store for this kind of job.
There we go. Yeah, looking for a jerry can. I guess I need one with a bigger spout. These ones got, like, a tighter
end. Oh, they got a stopper in the middle.
What we're actually doing is kind of crazy is we're spreading ashes out of an airplane. And we don't want any like back
blowback.
So I even like something like this. Yeah, that's way better. You guys have tubes here?
Plastic tubes, eh?
All we need is about 4 more inches, 5 more inches.
I might have something back in auto park.
Maybe like a rad hose or something too, eh? Oh geez, yeah. That'd be perfect.
No problem.
Cool.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks.
No problem.
So, $29.94 is your total?
I'm pretty confident that the stuff we have here, like this contraption here, will work.
There's just one problem, getting Joe on side.
Oh, he's been cranky as hell. Geez, nothing's going right. This could be an opportunity for him to look back and to see that as crazy as life is, at least we're all still together. And hopefully. Probably not. He'll probably just yell at us even more.
Things have been a little strained at Buffalo. These days, co-pilot Gord Cooling has been flying almost nonstop in a final push to get the flight hours he needs to make captain.
Another 10 hours, but Augie's not even here, so I'm sure I'll get them over the course of earning them back.
Gord knows the 18-hour return trip to Eureka on the brink of the North Pole will clinch the time he needs. But Scott Blue is hungry for hours, too. And only one of them will get to go if Buffalo lands this new government contract. In the hangar, Mikey gets word.
Thank you for your bid on the D&D requirement to move drum fuel from Eureka to Tankery Fjord. Mondale Aviation was successful vigor of this program. However, your bid was too high and we had to contact another operator. Once again, blah, blah, blah.
The Eureka bid is a bust.
And we got outbid by everybody. Like, everybody's got f***ing cheaper numbers than us right now.
And Joe is not happy.
He's so stressed out right now that any bad news to him is just like throwing more gas on the fire. It doesn't make the fire that much bigger, just a little bit more ferocious for a short little while, and it goes back to just being a fire.
Buffalo's quote was driven up by the need to bring along their own avgas for the return trip.
C-46 was suited for the job probably 50 years ago when there was lots of fuel around. Now there's only fuel for turbine engines or jet engines. So it's out of its league.
The airline that got the contract flies jet-fueled planes that can fill up in Eureka. This failed bid is another sign that Buffalo's reliance on avgas could lead to their downfall. It's a big blow.
It was emotionally hard because there's a lot of jobs on the line, there's a lot of people on the line, and would like to be the hero for a little while.
Did you hear what happened there?
Oh, Mikey's just like, yeah, we didn't get the Eureka trip. I'm like, oh, really, man?
Scott's missed out on the flight of a lifetime.
Some other pilot gets to have all the fun of going up to Eureka. Maybe some other day we will, but...
Coming up, a simple but sacred task.
Well, I'll be the jump master. I'll be back here.
Gets executed Buffalo style. After a week of aviation gas shortages and failed bids, Buffalo Airways has received one of the company's most unusual requests. Robert Ott has come to Buffalo to scatter his late father's ashes from a DC-3.
His father was a World War II DC-3 mechanic. He definitely would want to freaking go out in style.
Mikey's persuaded Joe to donate his time, but Joe's patience is wearing thin.
So I'm going to go do this thing now at the airplane and get back to work. Let's get him in the airplane, get her done. I've got to get back to work, Rick. I can't spend more time out here. Can you get him in the airplane so I can be going?
Yeah, he was so freaking cranky. If I had spread his ashes this morning, I probably would have just freaking kicked him in the boneyard somewhere because he wasn't in the best mood this morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good. Hey, guys.
I'm Joe McBrien.
Hey, Joe. Really great to meet you.
Yeah, I just talked to Mikey.
Joe leaves Mikey to brief Robert Ott. As the son of a former Canadian Air Force mechanic, Robert might expect military protocol and precision.
What I came up with was the watering can with the extension.
But this is Buffalo.
We're going to try to do it out the back door.
Okay.
Which would be the most efficient. And for our funnel, depending on how it goes, we might use the funnel as like the windbreak. And then this goes right into the funnel.
So we're putting ashes into here?
Yep.
And you think they're going to get kind of drawn out?
Hopefully, that's the whole thing. And then if this doesn't work, we can always have just this as a straight shot.
Okay.
So I guess we just got to transfer it.
Okay.
With some trepidation, Robert removes his father's ashes from the box.
I couldn't even imagine what would be going through Robert's mind at that point because, to me, it's a box with ashes to it, but to him, that was his father who had an entire life.
Robert's been waiting 10 years for this day. It was only recently he heard about Buffalo Air.
Now that's an awfully thin tube. It's only 3/4-inch heater hose.
What are you going to do here?
Yeah.
Impatient to get going, Joe steps in.
See, even this, like, this was... See, now, if it's happening in this, which is larger... Well,
that's what I mentioned to you, that you need a fair size...
The old man came and said, no, we need a bigger hole.
True to form, Joe takes a hands-on, or rather hands-in, approach.
What, move your hand, your left hand.
There she goes. It's kind of surreal thinking back on it now that, holy smokes.
Sorry about that. I'd like to be a little more...
That's all right. It's like my dad to be difficult right now.
Hey, Rod.
Now all three McBrien's, father and sons, get in on the act.
You just take off enough here that I can just get a clamp on it with a hose. Okay. So this thing here, like Mike in physics 30, grade 12, remember that? Too much in here, not enough here?
Well, the original one you wanted was half the size.
I think his agenda was, you know, get her done. Let's get up there and get her done and no pussyfooting around. And
yeah, geez, that'll work pretty good, eh? We're going to use the SCAD hose, which is like used for heaters and stuff within a DC-3. So it's kind of suitable that we had to throw in a couple DC-3 parts in there to make it a little bit more authentic.
That's good, yeah. Just like that. You want more of that? Yeah.
We taped up the funnel to have a little bit of blockage just in case there was some blowback.
It's all in the family. Buffalo Joe and his sons trying to ensure that Robert Ott's farewell to his father comes off successfully.
He wanted it done quickly, but when he was there, he gave it his 100% attention. And that's what he does.
You coming?
Yeah, I'll come.
No one really knows if their duct-taped, homemade, ash-scattering contraption will actually work. But solving crazy challenges with unorthodox methods is the Buffalo way.
All the air from the back of the airplane wants to move forward.
Okay.
Inside the plane, Joe works out the logistics.
What I want to do, Mike, is make sure that hole is not getting any smaller. Now, what I got to do, we got to make sure the front cockpit windows are both open.
And he's decided that he's going to release the ashes himself.
So I'll be the jump master. I'll be back here. Okay, let's keep going.
Robert Ott follows Joe and co-pilot Sean Barry into the cockpit.
Okay, sir, beside you.
Robert settles in as the DC-3 taxis out. The service is about to begin.
Hold that altitude. I'll just bring right back into cruise. Yes, 813, we have traffic. We'll keep an eye on over by them.
Once they're up in the air, Sean flies the plane while Joe and Robert join Mikey in the cabin.
I hope it works.
No ceremony, no solemn prayer, no amazing grace. Just good old Buffalo get her done as Joe begins to disperse the ashes of late Royal Canadian Air Force mechanic Frank Ott.
Inside the DC-3, you got all these invisible air currents. You can't really tell what's sucking, what's blowing, what's going on. So we try to eliminate that and try to make the vessel as closed as possible. I know now it's just inevitable. There's no way you can get by without any new blowback.
Yeah, at one point I looked up and I could almost feel him because I could see a little bit of his remains floating in the back of the plane there by the door. And that was okay. It was all right.
I'm not going to comment on the fact that if we inhaled the human remains or not.
None of that matters to Joe.
Yeah, he gets in that mode that there's customer and the customer needs to get the job done.
Yeah, it was my responsibility as I guess the captain of the airplane to see that whoever goes overboard, go overboard in proper fashion.
Yeah, from one DC-3 person to the next, he took it upon himself to get the job done. If that's what Robert's father wanted, that's what Robert's father got. He got the full 9 years. He got the meal deal. He got the president of the company out there hand-bombing him right out the door.
There, all done.
Okay, thanks, eh?
Couldn't think of a better guy to help me out and do that, but Joe. After doing this, I feel calm and peaceful, and I'm just filled with joy for the whole experience.
And performing this good deed seems to have turned Buffalo's luck.
What's the fuel like up there right now?
A karmic payback is in the air. Mikey receives word about another Eureka contract.
What happened was something got damaged up there, and they had to bring up an emergency supply kit. And since we're ready to go, we were the first call up.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, we got crews.
Yeah, so even though we were planning, got shut down, the planning paid off.
Yeah, you'll get an email here any second. Thanks. Bye.
The flight to Eureka, just beside the North Pole, is back on. The only question is, who will be the co-pilot on the job? Scott Blue or Gord Cooling? It's a trip of a lifetime, an urgent mission to the top of the world.
It's 24 hours of daylight, too, man.
Oh, I know.
Two co-pilots have good reasons to go, but only one can. Gord Kuehling needs just a few more hours of flight time to make captain. But Scott Blue worked his butt off to snag the contract and has slogged on the ramp without complaint. Only one can make the journey. Mikey McBrien makes his decision.
Scott deserved to be the first officer on that one because he worked the hardest.
Finally, Scott will get some stick time.
Here we go.
He'll be back in the co-pilot seat on the C-46 flying due north to Eureka, the second northernmost research station in the world.
9-10 hours from now, we're going to be in Eureka.
Cool.
Scotty was very, very excited, and yeah, he should be.
We'll go to Resolute and off to Eureka.
Scott is making this once-in-a-lifetime journey alongside Buffalo's chief pilot, Arnie Schrader, and engineer, Adam Smith.
O301 tower, left turn out, clear for takeoff, runway 33.
Yeah, Buffalo 301, Alpha. We're rolling.
The C-46 heads northeast to Resolute to fill up with avgas, then continues farther north towards Eureka near the North Pole. En route, Adam Smith catches up on some shut-eye. But Scott wouldn't miss a second of this trip for anything.
Like, home. My God, we are so far north right now. You know, like, our GPS went blank after the 75th, you know, parallel. Like, we're up at the 80th, you know. We're directly in line with magnetic north. So if you had a compass, it would actually be pointing due west, you know, as opposed to north, right? So they're useless. Throw them out the window.
Giving your power up here, so it's not going to take us long to slow down here.
So how about
that one? Get it over left a little bit more to the left.
Sure, yeah.
Go.
Start to that.
Touching down on Eureka's dirt landing strip, it's still light out, although it's almost midnight. But Scott's too excited for sleep. He grabs his camcorder and explores the true north with Adam.
Here we are. In Eureka. Adam's walking around, picking his nose.
XOA. Oh, Geo.
Look at this. There's the old station across the way. Look at the new one.
Real nice.
Yeah, it's cold. It's probably about 3 degrees. Man, we're at the top of the world.
Did I also mention that it's midnight right now?
Wow.
Less than 10 degrees of latitude from the North Pole, the sun doesn't set in Eureka from April to the end of August.
The lovely Eureka Beach. Great for swimming, maybe. Maybe not.
With the uncertain future of avgas and of Buffalo, this is one flight that might never happen again.
Hey, look, our airplane's still there. Nobody stole it.
Will a big, huge tail dragon piston pounder ever make it that far north again?
Maybe.
Maybe not. The last time the plane's ever up there.
Scott could be right, yet Buffalo's crews have somehow managed to keep flying these vintage warbirds to the ends of the earth for 40 years, defying all odds and all predictions. But times are changing, and another winter is coming.
And it's miserable.
Feel my feet.
When the battle to fly the frozen north will take off all over again. On the next season of Ice Pilots NWT.
that, boys?
Truck's gonna have coffee.